right, very good. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive into Mark chapter 7. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the dependability of it. Lord, we thank you that we can learn how we ought to live and how we ought to act, how we ought to behave ourselves. Father, we ask that you would show us more of yourself this morning as we look into your word. May we never grow tired of hearing the stories of Jesus. May we never grow tired of the good news that Jesus Christ came, that he died, that he rose again, and that his coming was for us, that our sins might be forgiven us, and that we might receive eternal life, a home in heaven, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for all of these things that you have so abundantly given to us. We ask, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you during this hour. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mark chapter 7. We've been going through Mark now for more than half a year, and we're not yet halfway through the book. So I don't want to depress anyone, but we've still got a long way to go. We have been dealing with Mark's vision of Jesus, because Mark declares to us the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we've seen, all of these events that happen, events, not stories, all of these events that happen, they give us insight into God's character and into his life. But it also gives us insight into how he deals with us. Today, once again, we will see how Jesus deals very kindly with us. He wants to meet each one of us where we are. This does not mean that we should stay where we are. But this means that no matter what thing is between us and understanding and knowing God, he wants to reach out to us. He wants us to hear the message. He wants us to love and serve him. If we begin reading there in Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, we will see Jesus leaving the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, sort of on the western and northern tip of Israel, and he descends down to the Sea of Galilee again. Mark chapter 8, verse 31, it says, and again, Mark chapter 7, yes, Bibles sometimes trick us. When you look at it, you look at the top of the page and it has Mark chapter 8, but that's because Mark chapter 8 starts on this page. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. Let's try again. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Just before we go any further, this means he went from the western side near the Mediterranean Sea, Tyre and Sidon, and he comes across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee on the eastern coast of the Sea of Galilee. And that is a big journey. So I don't know how much time is being encapsulated here, but it is a lot. More than a day or two to walk that far. We have him leaving, and all through this time, we assume he is doing the same as he has been. In verse 32, we find, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. These two things go together. Deaf and impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha. It's hard to say. That is, be opened. I need some help with that one today, don't we? And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now we have here the event of this deaf and dumb, that is, unable to speak, man. we have this event where he is healed. And I want us to focus in on verse 37 because this gives us a hint at how we should understand this passage. We've seen Jesus heal in many other occasions already in Mark. And so you might say, why did Mark single out this particular time? What lesson should we learn? Was this the most important healing that Jesus did? What meaning is there to us? How does this help us to understand Jesus better? And we find in verse 37 that they were astonished because he had done all things well. He had done all things well. That phrase really opens up this event to us. Because not only did Jesus heal someone who was in need, but he did it in such a way that everyone marveled at the care, concern, and the magnitude of the healing and how much effort he put in to making sure that not only the people around him who could hear, but also this deaf man could understand what was happening. That not only was he healed, but he had an understanding of what was going on in this process. If you'll jump back with me to verse 32, this man was brought to Jesus. We find again that he was brought by others. He was deaf. He couldn't speak properly, and I'm sure most people assume that he would not be able to find his way to Jesus. He can't ask for directions. Where is Jesus now? Even if someone told him he's at the top end of town, he couldn't hear to understand clearly. And he couldn't speak clearly. So he had no way of finding Jesus on his own. And others brought him along. They said, we'll help you find Jesus. And they brought him along. But I don't know, even in the presence of Jesus, if he knew what Jesus could do for him. Here he is, he's deaf. He's unable to speak. Probably couldn't read. Most people at that time could not read. So he hadn't read the local news saying, miracle done here, miracle done there. This person was healed of their blindness or of their demons were cast out. He hadn't heard any of that because he couldn't hear with his ears. Here he is standing in front of Jesus and he is standing there not knowing what he needed or what Jesus could do. This is an interesting picture of each one of us. When we come before God, we are damaged. We are destroyed. We are under the judgment of sin. Many different areas of our life are out of sorts with God. And yet, we come before him and we don't even know what we need. Here, the deaf man couldn't cry out, Jesus, help me. For one, his tongue didn't work properly. But number two, even if he hadn't heard Jesus' name. He didn't know who he was standing in front of. When we see God, we are often like this man, who though he was standing in front of someone named Jesus, he did not know him. He didn't know about him. He didn't know there was the opportunity of healing. And he didn't know what he was missing with being deaf and being unable to speak. He must have understood that people around him could communicate, but their mouths moved, no sound. In Wagga, there's a young boy who was at our youth group, and he was always interesting to talk to. He was very deaf in one ear and only partially deaf in the other ear. And until he got his cochlear implant, he could not hear you. If you were standing right behind him yelling, he didn't know you were there. If you wanted to have his attention, you had to touch him on the shoulder, and then he'd look at you. And then he would read your lips and sometimes understand what you were saying. It was difficult to communicate to him. But once he had his cochlear implant, he still said, sometimes it's hard to hear. Not because I don't hear the sound, but because I'm used to not hearing sounds. So for us, we're used to it. We're like, oh yeah, you hear a sound and it immediately catches your attention. You could be in the airport and you hear over the rah, 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 and then your first name is said. Boom. Oh, I can understand that. I don't understand any of the rest of the things they said, but they said the word, John. Oh, yep, I heard that. I understood that one. Because sounds are easily understood by us. That is, we hear them and we are impacted by them. It's built in. Little kids, you can make a sound and they'll at least turn their head if their ears are working, right? They might not listen to you, but they'll turn their head. This is how integral the sounds are to us. This deaf man doesn't know the joy of hearing. He doesn't know what he's missing. Music? Oh, that's just, you know, maybe he can feel vibrations of something, but he doesn't know what it sounds like to hear music. He doesn't understand what his parents' voices sound like. He doesn't know what he is missing and what he could receive from Jesus. Jesus can heal him, and he will be able to do something that he had never been able to do before. He will be able to hear. But he doesn't know that's why he's there. So we find here this deaf man is standing without knowledge as well as without the ability to hear. He's deaf. The people around him, they thought Jesus could heal just by touching. This was a common misunderstanding in their time because, as we saw all the time, they were asking Jesus, if we can but touch your clothes, or if you can just touch us, then we can be healed. And yet we've seen Jesus heal from a distance with a word. We've seen Jesus heal in many different manners. He is not limited to touching this man and healing him. But we find Jesus wants more than just to provide ears that can hear sounds. He wants to provide this man the opportunity to realize that Jesus Christ is powerful to recover all of those things that are lacking in his life, and even to save his soul. That's what Jesus wants to teach. Remember, Jesus is not just going around healing people because he's a good guy. He is healing people because he loves them. And he is mostly teaching. He is trying to get people to understand that God sent him to bring them that message that there is a way to be right with God. That there is a way to be reconciled with God. That God has sent his own Son to redeem them. This was Jesus' message. And so Jesus is not just there to be a magic talisman providing healing, but he is there to teach. And so here he is presented with a man who doesn't hear him, doesn't know him, he doesn't know what's happening. And Jesus reaches out and he personally helps him to understand. First, I want us to notice that Jesus took him aside. We find Jesus often doing this. He would take someone who was in a dire situation and take them just outside the group, just to the side, so that they could have focused attention. This also let the man know that the reason he had been brought to that great crowd of people was to meet that very Jesus. Not so that he could be in the midst of a great crowd having a fun time, but so that he could meet this one. And so Jesus took him aside. We also see that Jesus has a personal interest in each one of us understanding. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there's been times when reading in the Bible, I'll be reading something and I'll get to the end of a passage, maybe the end of the chapter, and I'll be, what is going on here? Or maybe it's been a long day and I didn't get much sleep last night. And you get to the end of the chapter and then you say, what did I even just read? And you have to go back and start over again. because none of it stuck in your mind. Yet, when we come to the Bible and we say, God, I read this, I didn't understand it. How many times then on a second read through or with a little bit of study, God opens up His Word and all of a sudden, boom, there's all these riches here, a gem here, a truth here, something that applies to my very situation, or that as I'm going through my day, is something that encouraged me and helped me to rely on God that day. And you say, God knew. He gave me exactly the verse I needed for this very day. Isn't He wonderful? He personally wants us to understand. Jesus took this man aside in verse 33, took him aside, that is, out the back, away from everyone. And this gives us also two practical realities that Jesus was dealing with. First, that the deaf man, he couldn't hear, or he couldn't hear clearly enough to hear and know what words you're saying, but I bet he was able to understand something, lip reading or something. In the midst of a crowd, with a multitude all jostling around, it would be just as distracting for this deaf man as it would be for us trying to have a quiet conversation in the middle of a great party or in a loud situation. It can be confusing and difficult. So here Jesus took him to the side. Also, this allowed Jesus to deal with the practicality that this man didn't hear and would need one-on-one instruction in order to understand. He would need a one-on-one personal interaction. Jesus could teach to the whole crowd because they can all hear him. All of them at once. But this man could not understand unless there was a personal instruction. Jesus took him aside and then noticed what he did. Did he then begin to say, you can't hear, but I'm going to make you hear? Nope. He took his fingers and he put them in the deaf man's ear. The deaf man knew, because it's easy to see when people are listening to other people, they might, you know, tip their ear. They're using their ears to do something, and his ears don't do anything. And when Jesus puts his finger on the guy's ears, now all of a sudden he knows Jesus is intending to heal his ears so that he can hear. You see, it's not enough for Jesus to accomplish the miracle of healing this man, but he wants this man to know that he was healed by Jesus and that it was intentional, not accidental. This man's faith would be able to start from that moment. Up until this point, Jesus is just another person. A person that people are walking around talking to, but one out of many. At this point, he knows that Jesus cares for him and wants to heal him. We find next that after putting his fingers into the ears of this man, it then says that Jesus spit. Now, we're not told where or to what purpose, but in doing that motion, he helped this man realize that his mouth needed fixing too. And so Jesus spit and then touched the man's tongue. So now this man whose tongue doesn't work properly, who couldn't speak properly and couldn't hear, he now knows that Jesus is intending to fix both his ears and his mouth. Interestingly, this is a common problem with those who do not hear. They also cannot speak properly because they're not hearing the sounds. So if they try to mimic the mouth movements, it doesn't always correlate to a proper speech. Here, Jesus did this. He touched his tongue. But then we see Jesus prayed. Now, at this point, Jesus is helping those who are around, but this man would be able to see that he was praying. Notice how he prayed. In verse 34, it says, "And looking up to heaven." This man, he can't hear. He doesn't know what the words are going to be, but he knows that Jesus is looking up. Just as all the Jews who would pray, lifting up their hands to God and begging God to bless them, to help them. So Jesus is now looking up to heaven. This man knows that Jesus is contacting God. It's not Jesus saying, "I'm going to heal your ears and I'm going to heal your tongue because I have some sort of magical potion." Nor is it Jesus doing this healing out of his own strength. He's not some person with a medical license or degree. This man now knows that Jesus is looking for power to heal him from heaven. Think about what this deaf man has already learned. He has learned that there is one person who's important that he needs to listen to. He has learned that this person wants to teach him and for him to be able to hear the lesson. That this person has a great deal of care for him individually and is willing to take time out of his busy schedule to look him in the eye and to make sure he understands. And now this deaf man knows that Jesus is looking to God for power. That Jesus is looking to God to provide healing. This is not Jesus on his own. This is Jesus because of God. This is Jesus who is God. He won't know that part yet. But this is Jesus who is God. And so Jesus lifts his eyes up to heaven, and now no matter what happens next, this deaf man is either going to blame God or praise God for what happens next. He knows that the intention is that his ears be opened and his mouth be able to speak. That's what he knows is the intention. Whatever occurs next, it is because of God. I think this gives us a hint, Christian, how we ought to approach those who are not saved. When we come to someone who doesn't know God, we need to make sure that they understand God is the one who wants them to understand the message of the gospel. That it is not us convincing them about what is true in our life. It is about us convincing them about what God has said. So that no matter what happens after our testimony of God, they have to say, "This is what God wants me to know." So that God can receive all the praise. That's the intention. Jesus, he has lifted his eyes up to heaven, and then he does speak. But notice he only says one word. It's one word, and I think that was, can't remember, that's not Greek. That it be opened. That's how we say it in English. Be opened. A command. He just said one word. I don't know if the deaf man could read the lips and figured out what he was saying, but he knew that Jesus was praying to heaven. And at that word, he was healed. Now, there are some people looking at this passage and they think that the fingers in the ears or the spitting or the touching the tongue was all some sort of ritual or that it was some sort of medicine kind of a thing. But what I see is Jesus trying to communicate with someone who is very limited in their means of receiving that communication. And he uses everything at his disposal. We need to be very careful to speak to people where they are at. If they're deaf, use sign language. If you don't know sign language, then speak slowly. Touch them on the shoulder so that they can look you right in the eyes and then say, you know, all that you know. Point them to the scripture so they can read it with you. Whatever you can do. Meet them where they're at. If they're 4 years old and they can't read yet, You know, you're going to have to speak loudly, keep their attention. You're going to have to use small words. Meet them where they're at with the ability of understanding that they're able to have, but make sure that the same things are pointed out. That God wants to meet their need, and it's not me, it's God. God's the one who's going to do this. And then when God opens their eyes, opens their heart, when God reaches in and they are changed, the glory will all go to God. It'll all go to God. We have here, God answered immediately. Jesus was powerful in healing here. And once again, we have underlined or underscored or bolded or put in neon flashing lights. Jesus is doing this through the power of God. He is sent from God. Underlined, bolded, the whole deal. Straight away, verse 35. I love that word. Mark uses it a lot, so you've probably heard it a few times already. He uses this word a lot, immediately or straightway. It is no time between the one and the other. Jesus says, be opened, and it happens. That was a really bad snap. It was immediate. There was no time between Jesus speaking and the accomplishment of the healing. Straightway, his ears were opened. Now, remember, this man is deaf. He probably doesn't know what sounds should be sounding like. It's not just a repair here of the physical structure. Maybe there was damage to his eardrums or something. But this is also, all of a sudden, he has the brain rewired so that it can understand hearing. Takes a long time for that to happen in normal circumstances. As I was saying with the young man in Wagga, he got the cochlear implant, and not only did things not stand out to him because it was a sound, but it took him a while to learn how to interpret what was being put in. His brain had to rewire to be able to use that information. Here, this man, straightway his ears are opened. He can hear. He can hear to the extent that he can not just have sound waves hitting and it's making signals in his brain, but he can interpret those signals. All of a sudden he can hear, and that's the wind blowing the leaves. He can recognize what's going on. I'm sure he was wandering around just marveling at all the things he could hear from that point. They were around the corner from the multitude, but there was this huge multitude of people. And all of a sudden he says, I can hear lots of people. Normally I'd have to look around in my narrow vision to see everyone that's here, but now I can hear them. They're all here making noise. They're rustling, they're talking, they're doing things, they're walking past. I can hear everything. His ears were opened immediately. But also, the string of his tongue was loosed. Two things at once. More than two things. Lots of things happened all at once. His ears were fixed, whatever problem there was. His brain could interpret it. And now his tongue is working. We don't know exactly what problem it was. It says that the string of his tongue was loose, so maybe it was a speech impediment like tongue-tied or something like that. Regardless, there was physical change, but also the ability to use the tongue. I don't know if you've ever marveled at how children learn how to speak. Generally happens when they're very young. They learn how to speak. They mimic sounds until they can actually control what they're saying. And then eventually, hopefully, they understand what they're saying. But it's a whole thing to be able to use the muscles in our mouth and our breath to make the sound that comes out just the way it is so that it's understandable, not gibberish. This man was able to speak. Notice, he was able to speak plain. He was able to speak clearly as if he had never been deaf. This is impossible. Even today, it takes many years of work for someone who was deaf, who gets a cochlear implant or something like that, to be able to speak clearly. You have to go to therapists and to retrain your tongue and your mouth as well as your breathing to be able to speak sounds. It's work. But here Jesus did it in an instant. Jesus has healed the tongue, the ear. He's healed his brain to be able to use both of them. All of this at once, in an instant, and now this man is able to speak plain. I wonder what his first words were. You know, parents often write down what their kids' first words were. We didn't do that. Sorry, kids. But, you know, it's a milestone. Oh, their first word was, I wonder what this man's first words were. Be interesting to know. Here he is, he's gone from hearing nothing to hearing everything. And he's gone from not being able to form words to being able to speak clearly all at once. I wonder what his first words were. I do have my favorite hypothesis, which is he said something like, "Praise God!" Remember, Jesus just looked up to heaven and he knew that all of this miracle was happening because of God. This wasn't a medicine thing where he knew what was going to happen next. Instead, this is God delivering him in an instant. And if I were him, that would have been my first words. Praise God. We're not told. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask him, what were your first words? Regardless, he was excited and he started using his tongue immediately. He started using his tongue immediately, and we find Jesus immediately telling him not to use his tongue so much. Seems a little bit ironic. He just helped the man to be able to speak, and now he's like, now don't use your tongue so much. In verse 36, he charged them that they should tell no man. This seems ironic. Surely Jesus would want the man whose tongue was loosed to tell everyone. And surely he would want the message to go far and wide. But Jesus had accomplished his purpose. His purpose was to cause this man who could not hear, who could not talk to respond, to hear his message and then to be able to speak of it. And therefore, Jesus' purpose has been fulfilled. He doesn't need this man to make his fame greater. Notice that Jesus is not just charging this man, but he's also charging all the ones who brought him. Remember, this group of people, however many there were, that brought this deaf man to Jesus, they were quite concerned for this deaf man. I don't know if it was friends and family. We're not told. But they wanted to know what happened. And notice what they said in verse 37 again. He hath done all things well. He talked to a deaf man the way a deaf man could understand. And not only understand, but understand so that they were looking to God as well. And then he healed him. And now he can hear, no longer deaf. And now he can speak, no longer dumb. Just before we go any further there, just in verse 37, where it says, the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, we commonly use this word dumb in a different way nowadays. In the King James English, dumb just meant closed mouth, not speaking, unable to speak. So don't get those confused. This isn't saying that he didn't have the brain power to do anything, but just that he wouldn't respond if you talked to him. He would be closed mouth. Here we have Jesus. He has healed this man and he is able to speak. And they said, this is well. All things about this situation, Jesus did well. He took the man who would be in the midst of this group, who do I need to focus on? He took him aside. He looked at him directly and he made sure he could understand what was going to happen and who was responsible. He did all things well. Jesus charged them that they should tell no man. I want us now to see another irony, and this is the irony of those who have found Jesus, and it is that they often don't listen to him. Even when he heals their ears so they can hear, they don't listen to obey. The more that he charged them, so much the more they published it. They proclaimed it everywhere. They didn't listen to him. This is perhaps true of us as well. We can't blame this man for being excited. We can't blame him for wanting to tell everyone, you know, I'm able to speak to you because Jesus fixed my mouth and I'm able to speak. And not only that, but he fixed my ears so I can hear when you talk to me. Isn't this amazing? And God let Jesus do that for me. We can't blame him for his excitement. But we should try to learn the lesson that he hadn't yet learned, which is we need to obey Jesus and we need to listen to him to learn not only the gospel, but everything that he wants to teach us, all the wisdom that he has for us. So we have here the incident of the deaf, mute man being made both to hear and to speak. And each one of us is that deaf and mute man. Each one of us. Before we came to Christ, we were needing much. And we needed God. And after salvation, those of us who know him, we come to God and we don't even know what we're missing. We can just come and we know that that's Jesus. That's all we know. When we come to him, let us realize that Jesus wanted us to see God and who God truly was. You know, God didn't cause this man to be deaf and dumb. He allowed it because of sin. But that was not God's intention that we all be deaf and dumb. No, God gives graciously everything that we need for life and godliness. And when we come to him, he will heal us. This is the good news of Jesus. He shows us God the Father who came for us. He wants each and every one of us individually to come to him. As we go to prayer, I just want to reiterate that Jesus wants you to hear him. And no matter what he has to do to get your attention, no matter what he has to do to enable you to be able to understand it, he wants to help you. If you will but submit to him, if you will listen to him, he will cause you to have all things well in your life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that you healed this man and that you've shown us through the gospel here of Mark that your desire is for each one of us to be made whole, to be able to hear your word and to be able to rejoice in you. Father, we ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and Lord, that we would have listening hearts ready to obey. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us through this week. Amen.